Micah. Micah chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. How sad for me, for I am like one who, when summer fruit has been gathered, after the gleaning of the grape harvest, finds no grape cluster to eat, no early fig, which I crave. Faithful people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. All of them wait in ambush to shed blood. They hunt each other with a net. Both hands are good at accomplishing evil. The official and the judge demand a bribe. When the powerful man communicates his evil desire, they plot it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a hedge of thorns. The day of your watchman, the day of your punishment is coming. At this time, their panic is here. Do not rely on a friend. Don't trust a close companion. Seal your mouth from the woman who lies in your arms. Surely a son considers his father a fool. A daughter opposes her mother, and a daughter-in-law is against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You may be seated. Wednesday night, we were looking at chapter 6. And chapter 6 is, I titled the message, God's Lawsuit. And it reminds me of court cases. And it even describes it that way. I remember growing up watching Perry Mason, Matt Locke, and Law and Order. And I like those shows that have a courtroom setting. And when justice is supposedly sought. And in chapter 6 on Wednesday, we looked at how God is pleading his case in the courtroom of the entire universe. He calls the mountains and the earth as a witness, things that don't change. You know, the opinions of men change from time to time. It's interesting, some people say, all truth is God's truth, which is true, but not all opinion of men is truth. But some people try to say, all opinions are the truth. They're not. What doesn't change is what God has created. God's word is unchanging. And God has given us his truth. And he is coming before the courtroom of his creation, bringing an accusation against Israel. And in verse 3 of chapter 6, he says, my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. So people are saying in Israel at the time of Micah, you know, God is just wearing us out with all the things he wants us to do. And God says, how am I wearying you? Think about what I've done for you throughout history. Now, you might have heard children say of their parents, now none of you said this about your parents, I know, but you know, all your rules just wear me out, mom, dad. It's just so hard doing what you want me to do. You know, you don't think about me at all. Well, Israel was doing the same thing to God. God, you don't think about us at all. You're only concerned with your rules. And God replies to Israel, says, you remember what I did in Egypt? You were a slave. And I brought you out with a miraculous hand. Plagues that showed my power over all the false gods of Egypt. I brought you to the Red Sea. And you crossed through on dry ground. When you were coming to the Promised Land, remember about Balaam and Balak? Balak was the king of Moab. He wanted Balaam, the prophet of the area, to bring a curse against Israel. And Balaam's donkey told Balaam, you better listen to what God says. And fortunately, Balaam did listen to his donkey. And Balaam pronounced a blessing on Israel. And then Israel, when they were coming from the outside, the area of Moab, into the promised land, when the priest touched the Jordan River, it split. And they walked through the Jordan River on dry ground and entered the promised land. God says, how is any of this wearying you? You have forgot about everything I've done for you. You're only focused on what you want. God says, your actions are not going to please me, are not going to satisfy my judgment. But what is required, verse 8, is to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. God has told his requirements to Israel. But Israel is not listening. And Israel is doing the same thing of what's going on in our country, in our world today. We look around our world today and we see people loving sin more than repenting of sin. We see people calling evil good and calling good evil. We see people who take a stand for what is right criticized and demeaned. We see a time when people take a stand for what's wrong and they're elevated to positions of prominence. But it's nothing new. It is the same thing that was happening in the time of Micah 3,000 years ago. As the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. People are doing the same thing again and again because they have forgotten what God did, what God is going to do, and what God can do. And so Micah starts out chapter 7, how sad for me. Said, this tears me up, seeing these things that are going on. Now, I've got a book on my bookshelf. I can't get past partway through the first chapter. It's a book by a guy named David Limbaugh called Persecuted. And he talks about all the things that the court system is doing against Christians. And I get so upset with the book, I can't get past the first chapter of it. It's like what Micah's saying here. I am so torn up about the things I see around me. Why are they happening? Don't they see the truth of God? Last week, we had the State of the Union Address and the State of the State Address talking about what men think is the most important thing. Well, Micah's saying, here's the state of Israel, and it makes me sad. It tears me up. It's like someone that goes harvest grapes, and there's nothing for me to eat. Wait a minute. There should be some here. It's harvest time. I'm wanting some figs. It's harvest time, and there's none. I don't see things coming from God's vineyard that I should see, and I'm upset about it. And then Micah goes on to describe it in verse 2. He said, faithful people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. We think back and try to think of godly men in our society, and we have to go back in history because we don't think about too many of them today. There's not a lot of godly people standing up for what is right, standing up to opposition, saying, this is what God says, this is what we should do. And we don't see a nation as a whole taking a stand, or a world as a whole taking a stand for what God says is right. We see people taking a stand for what is wrong. In Florida, There's been a culture war going on between the government and Disney. Disney has taken a stand that it wants to promote opposition to what the Florida legislature is doing about trying to promote values in the state of Florida. And they took a stand against what God says is right. Now, Florida is, got it right, or at least was leaning right in that bill, taking a stand for what's right. But it's not just in Florida. It's not just Disney. It's everywhere you see. People are promoting sinfulness and bragging about it. There was a time in our society when people, they were still sinners, but you didn't come out and flaunt your sin. It was hidden. Used to be, we'd say they're skeletons in the closet. Now, things are coming out of the closet that shouldn't have even been in the closet in the first place. But this is nothing new. Where are the faithful people standing up for what is right? It says, all of them wait in ambush to shed blood. They hunt each other with a net. In our society, especially in America, we have a problem with the hyphen. The hyphen, American, is set to divide one person against another. It used to be America was a melting pot, not a hyphenated pot. We are a people that God showed to bring together. But we got people divided against each other. We have some people saying the amount of melanin in your skin, that determines how dark your skin is, determines whether you're a good person or a bad person. No, it just depends how dark your skin is. The amount of melanin in your skin, some people have it speckled around, we call that freckles, but we are all one blood. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve. We are all related. And that was one thing when I told my biology class about genetics. It says, I'd ask them, sorry, you know, does your cousin go to the school? No. Yes, they do. Is your cousin in this classroom? No. Yes, they are. Everyone in this classroom, everyone in this auditorium is at least a cousin. You might be closer related, but you might be a cousin 10,000 times removed, but you're all related. We're all of the same blood. We are all children of Adam and Eve, their descendants. But there are people trying to divide us, and there are people trying to divide the people in Israel in the time of Micah. One person trying to find fault with that person, another trying to find fault with that person, trying to divide the people apart, just like we see today. There's nothing new under the sun. And then verse 3, both hands are good in accomplishing evil. What does that mean? If you've ever seen an illusionist, he will do something with this hand while this is trying to get your attention, but he's actually doing something with the other hand you're not supposed to see. And so this hand is good at distracting you. This hand is good at hiding the illusion. But here it's saying both hands are good at evil. They don't try to hide what they're doing. Evil is prevalent with all their energy, with both their hands. And then it tells us the official and the judge demand a bribe. We don't see justice in Israel in the time of Micah. You can bribe a judge to get your way. Justice is not the concern of the judges in the time of Micah, just like we see with many of our judges today. A lot of the problems, people say, well, you can't punish people. It will ruin their life. So let's just let them free to go and ruin somebody else's life. In California, they're trying to pass a law saying that you cannot remove an unruly child or discipline an unruly child in a school classroom because that might hurt their feelings. How about the other people in the classroom that want to learn? How about spare the rod and spoil the child? There are things going on in our society that are wrong. And we know them wrong because God says they're wrong. He tells us what's right and wrong, but it's nothing new. What we're facing today was the same thing going on in the time of Micah. And then verses 5 and 6, you can't trust anybody. You can't depend on people to be your source of what's right and wrong. You can't even trust the people in your own household. And Jesus referred to this passage when he said, when you follow me, people in your own household will be your enemies. We see people turning in their parents because they say they're doing wrong. Turning in their children because they say they're doing wrong. Not wrong what's according to God, but wrong what's according to the society today. My parents wouldn't wear their mask. My parents told me not to wear my mask or whatever. And there is dispute within the family. And it's just going to get worse. But there's hope. God always gives us hope. 3,000 years ago, there were problems going on in Israel. But look at what Micah said in verse 7. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Even when bad things are happening, God still hears. Some people have said, sometimes God doesn't hear my prayer. He always hears my prayer. And he always answers. But sometimes God's answer is not yet. Wait. Sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes God answers yes. Sometimes God answers, I got a better way. But God always hears our prayer. And it's always responding in his time. Micah was preaching to a nation of Israel that was about to be taken off into captivity for 2,000 years. But they came back. God brought them back in his time. Part of the nation of Israel, the southern tribes, Judah, they were carried away in captivity for 70 years. Then they came back. God has a different timing than we do. We want to wait on God's timing. We want him to give us patience right now. Now, if you ever want patience, don't pray to God for patience. Because he'll give you situations to teach you patience. But Micah's saying, I'm waiting on God's salvation. He's going to come and rescue me. Now, okay. Time for my attempt at a joke. There were two men stranded on an island. One's all worrying and everything. It's just, oh, we're lost forever. That are sitting back, just chilling on the beach. He goes, why don't you worry? He says, I'm the biggest tither in my church. My pastor will find me. It doesn't matter how much you tithe for God. If we're God's people, God will find us and rescue us. We can be distraught, just like Micah, over what we see happening around us. But God is going to fix everything. Salvation is coming from the Lord. It's bad. Society is bad all around us. But God's going to fix it. Let us rest in that hope. The worse we see it, the brighter the light of God will be. You know, I can turn on my little, no, I can't, I don't have it with me. My little flashlight on my camera, it's not going to look as bright right now as it will at midnight. The darker the surroundings, the brighter the light. And we're to reflect the light of Jesus in our lives to a world around us, showing them the right way. Micah was a prophet showing Israel the right way. And when judgment came, they were reminded of the words of Micah. They're still reminded of the words of Micah because that's in the scriptures. We are reminded of the words of Micah. No matter how dark society is around us, our salvation is coming from the Lord. And it gets even better with the rest of the chapter. But you can either come back Wednesday or read ahead or do both. But let's remember to share with others when they talk about how bad things are around us. But God's got everything under control. My salvation is coming. And I hope in the Lord. And that's a hope you can take to the bank. It's something you can count on. God always keeps his promises. And Israel is a glaring example of his promises. Israel ceased to exist as a nation in the year 70. Just two digits. But in 1948, God's promises were seen and fulfilled. Israel became a nation again. What other nation in the world ceased to exist for almost 2,000 years and came back? Doesn't happen. But when God says they're going to come back, I'm going to bring my people back to their promised land, he did it. That's just a reminder that we can count on God. He always keeps his promises. Now, there might be bad times in between. It's okay. In the end, God keeps his promises. Let's stick with that hope. Stand with me for our closing prayer. I'll be here at the end of the service at the front to answer any questions you might have. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Let us remember to follow the hope that Micah gave us. Even though he was distraught over what he saw, he knew that you were bringing salvation, and his hope was in you. As we see things going on around us in our world, in our nation, just like what's going on in the nation of Israel at the time of Micah, you have kept your promises. You will bring salvation. Let us rest in your hope, in our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.